Hello and welcome to the Death Penalty Information Center podcast, examining issues in the death penalty system. In this edition, we will explore the issue of innocence.
I've occasionally read about cases where people who were convicted of crimes and served time in prison were actually innocent. I guess that's inevitable in any legal system that relies on human judgment. Does that also happen in death penalty cases?
Yes, many innocent people have been sent to death row. Since 1973, 135 people in 26 states have been exonerated and freed from death row. In all of these cases, the conviction that placed the inmate on death row was overturned and all charges were dismissed, either through a retrial, the action of the prosecutor, or a governor's pardon. In total, 17 people have been released from death row as a result of DNA evidence. The first such case was that of Kirk Bloodsworth. Bloodsworth was sent to death row in Maryland for the 1984 rape and murder of a young girl. In 1993, DNA evidence showed that he could not have committed the crime. A decade later, another man was convicted of the murder and given a life sentence.
But aren't the exonerations evidence that the judicial system is working? Sure, they were wrongfully convicted, but the appeals process found the truth.
The problem is that many of the exonerations were not a result of the normal judicial process. A prime example is the case of Anthony Porter. In 1983, Porter was charged with the murder of a couple on the south side of Chicago. Despite the fact that the only real evidence against Porter was a very questionable eyewitness identification, he was convicted and sentenced to death. After a number of appeals were rejected, and with his execution just 50 hours away, the Illinois Supreme Court granted a stay in order to test Porter's mental competency. At that point, a group of journalism students at Northwestern University began investigating the case for a class project. They gathered evidence that proved Porter's complete innocence. The eyewitness who originally implicated Porter recanted her testimony, and a man named Alstery Simon admitted that he was the real killer. Porter was subsequently released from death row. Without the fortuitous assignment of this case in a journalism class and the dedication of those students, Porter would likely have been executed. That is not evidence of the justice system working. In fact, it shows how easy it is for the system to fail.
Our criminal justice system instructs juries to convict only if the guilt of the accused is proven beyond a reasonable doubt. That's a very high standard. How do wrongful convictions happen, especially in death penalty cases?
In 2001, the Center on Wrongful Convictions at Northwestern Law School analyzed the cases of 86 death row exonerees. They found a number of reasons why innocent people are wrongfully convicted in capital cases. The reasons included eyewitness error from confusion or faulty memory, government misconduct by both the police and the prosecution, mishandled evidence or use of unqualified experts, false snitch testimony often given by a prisoner in exchange for a reduction in sentence, and false confessions resulting from mental illness or retardation, as well as from police coercion. Other causes include hearsay and questionable circumstantial evidence. It is worth noting that many of the exonerations involved more than one of these causes.
Besides the work of journalism students and the science of DNA testing, how else do exonerations happen?
It is extremely difficult. Overturning a conviction takes substantial resources, effort, and good luck. Without the tireless effort of the many innocence projects nationwide and pro bono work from lawyers and firms and public interest organizations, it is likely that many of these 135 people would have remained on death row or been executed. The rise of DNA testing has facilitated some exonerations, but most of those who have been freed relied on years of appeals. There are 3,300 people on death row, and not all of their cases will get the examination they deserve. This reality should raise questions about the appropriateness of the death penalty as a sentencing option. Since some mistakes are inevitable, should there be an irreversible penalty?
Do we know of any innocent people who have been executed?
Well, we can't say for sure, because legal appeals stop once a person has been executed. But there have definitely been cases where a person with questionable guilt was executed. Most recently, a 2006 investigation by the Chicago Tribune found substantial evidence that Carlos de Luna, executed in 1989 for the fatal stabbing of a Texas convenience store clerk, may have been innocent. The reporters uncovered evidence pointing to Carlos Hernandez, who had a record of similar crimes and reportedly confessed to being the real killer. There are three other cases where recent investigations have thrown considerable doubt on the guilt of the person executed. Another case that is still undecided is that of Troy Davis in Georgia. He has been scheduled for execution three times. Davis was convicted of the murder of an off-duty police officer in Savannah, but since then, seven of the nine eyewitnesses have recanted their testimony, some claiming that they were coerced into their confession by the police. Of those who have not recanted, one was the other suspect in the case. President Jimmy Carter, Pope Benedict, former FBI Director William Sessions, and former Republican Congressman Bob Barr are among those who have been vocal in their calls for a new trial for Davis. In August 2009, the United States Supreme Court ordered a new evidentiary hearing for Davis.
Why do courts resist reopening the cases of inmates who have new evidence?
On appeal, courts look for legal errors in the trial or sentencing process. They are very hesitant to second-guess juries. Courts often hold that the trial was fair and that it is too late to be introducing new evidence. The state's interest in finality requires an end to the case, even though a doubt may exist about the defendant's guilt. An inmate must have very compelling proof of innocence, such as DNA evidence, in order to get a new trial.
Is there any resolution to the problem of innocence?
There are many reforms that states can use to protect against mistakes in criminal trials, including improving the quality of representation. However, any system dependent on human judgment will be fallible. It is inevitable that some mistakes will be made. In capital cases, one solution to ensure that no innocent defendants are executed is to eliminate the death penalty. Those in prison at least have time to prove their innocence. Thank you for listening to the Death Penalty Information Center podcast. For more information, go to deathpenaltyinfo.org.